Ever since Rabbi Gold spoke a few years ago on the same evening, the Motzoi Shabbat before Yom HaTzmaut, and gave his famous watermelon talk. Anybody remember that? No? I'll tell you some other time, because he's not going to talk about watermelon. I had at that time and since then received tremendous chizuk on a position which I sadly feel lonely in sometimes. Not in this room, I'm sure, but in confronting the population in general, you run into non-religious Zionist types and religious non-Zionist types, and you feel somewhere left out of both of those camps, which is sad. And in programming for this coming Yom HaTzmaut, top of my list, and I'm glad that he said yes for this talk, even though we missed him on Chol Moed Pesach, to give us more chizuk in this direction. And I won't say any more because this is his first public speech, so we have to warmly welcome Rabbi Shalom Gold.
Now, I really thought that this was the intimate group of the Rosh Chodesh Club, but I see that it has expanded quite a bit, and maybe I have stage fright. Now, here in a small gathering, I can say whatever is on my mind. I imagine now what I'll have to do is say whatever is on my mind to a large gathering. There's really going to be one point to all that I have to say this evening. One point. We've been called the people of the book, the Am HaSefer. We are the people of Tanakh. We are the ones to whom Torah was given. We are the ones who created Nevi'im Uktuvim. We gave that great legacy to the world. Unfortunately, while we may be the people of the book, I'm afraid that in great measure the book is a closed one to us. What I want to do is at least encourage that the book be opened up. If we are to understand Yom HaAtzmaut from a religious perspective, there's only one way to do it, and that is by going directly to the sources in Tanakh. Tanakh is fascinating. I remember a member of my congregation, Harnof, the Young Israel of Harnof. That was a commercial for Young Israel. The Young Israel of Harnof. One of the members of my congregation, a woman, called me up the morning that the Gulf War began. You remember it was a Wednesday night in the middle of the night. She calls me up in the morning, Rabbi, you have to do something to me. I need a pasuk to get me through the day. So I quoted to her the pasuk in Yeshayahu. Leich ami bo b'chadarecha, go my people into your rooms, uskor to matecha ba'adecha, and close the door behind you. Chavi kimat rega, wait for a moment, agabor zam, until the anger will pass. There was a silence at the other end of the phone. I had a feeling that she simply fainted. And then a moment later, I hear her breathing like, God, that busted! What a busted! What a busted. Within an hour, I believe that all of you, Shalayim, was quoting that busted. Yeshayahu talking about a time in history when Jews will be called upon to go into their rooms, close the door behind them, and put a wet shmata down at the bottom, and wait Ad Yavor Zav, until the anger will pass. I remember then I had also told the members of my shul 2 to 3 weeks before the war began. I learned with them a pasuk in Yecheskel. When I studied the pasuk in Yecheskel, it blew my mind. Yecheskel says, we're talking about the end of days, that long period that may very well be the end of days. V'yacharif ha-shanim tavo el eretz shovevet mi-cheref. Yecheskel says, in the name of God, God is talking to the enemies of Israel that will attempt to attack Israel. V'yacharif ha-shanim, at the end of years, you're going to come el eretz mi-shovevet mi-cheref. A land returned from the sword, mikubetzet me'amim rabim, gathered in from many nations. You're going to come out of Israel against the mountains of Israel, asher hayul chorvot tamid. They had always been desolate, but now they weren't. Vehi me'amim hutza'ah. And here's a people that had been taken out from amongst the other nations. The Yoshvu of Vetach Kulam, all of them are going to live in security. I'm going to go over the pasuk. The pasuk describes an enemy coming against Israel, and the pasuk describes the land of Israel that for many years had been desolate and now was not. The enemy is coming against Israel, and there are three groups of people that make up the population of Eretz Yisrael. The first is Mishovevet Mecherev, those who had returned from the sword. The second was Mikubetzet Me'amim Rabim, gathered in from many nations. And the third and final one that Yecheskel talks about is He Me'amim Hutzah, one that had been taken out from it amongst another nation. It's quite obvious. Shovevet Mecheret refers to Jews who remained after the death and the destruction of the Shoah. Those who returned, Shovevet Mecheret, returned to Eretz Yisrael, plucked out of the jaws of death. Following the establishment of the State of Israel, began the ingathering from many nations, Mikubetzet Me'amim Rabim, Jews gathered in from many countries in the world. And now you come against them, V'hi Me'amim Hutzah, and there's now a third group. Says the Malbim, who is this third group? Me'amim Hutzah, a people coming out from another people. The words of the Malbim were, "Shenitno lehem reshut," that permission was granted to them to leave in order to come to Eretz Yisrael. A third group of people that had finally been given permission to leave and come to Eretz Yisrael. I sit and I read this Malbim, and here it is. 2 weeks until the January 15th deadline, and Jews are pouring into Eretz Yisrael from Russia, been granted permission to return to Eretz Yisrael. Now comes the most powerful statement of all. Rashi. Rashi! Rashi says, V'hine Amim Hutzah, she has a group of people coming now who have been taken out from another nation. Gog, Magog, enemy of Israel. You should have thought of it. That I'm bringing Jews to Eretz Yisrael now. And I'm not bringing them to leave them forsaken in your hands. Why do you think they're coming out and they're coming there so that Saddam Hussein and Hashem can get them? I read the Rashi. Was there a moment in history where that pasuk could have been more real than it was a year ago? The Imei Amen Mutzah.
You should have thought of it.
You should have taken into consideration that if Jews are arriving in Eretz Yisrael, God is bringing them there, not so that they should fall into your hands. We have to become more sensitive to Tanakh. I was thinking of it today. So the Bar Mitzvah, you know, you listen well to the Haftorah, you listen well to the Brachas before the Haftorah and after the Haftorah. In fact, you should listen to the Haftorah and the Brachas very well all the time. We bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asher Bachar B'Neviim Tovim, who chose Neviim Tovim. Now incidentally, we have to know what it means. Does it mean that there are good Neviim and there are bad Neviim and God chose the good Neviim? He chose Neviim to whom he transmitted prophecies that are good about the Jewish people. The Ratzov Divreihem, and he wants the fulfillment of their words, Hame'emarim Be'emet, that was said in truth. Blessed are you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who chooses Torah, your servant Moshe, your people Yisrael, Univiei Ha'emet V'Hatzedek, and the prophets of truth and justice. And then in the bracha, after the Haftarah, we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzur Kol Ha'olamim, Tzadik B'chol HaDorot. HaKel HaNe'eman, the trustworthy God. You can bet on him. HaOmer, the Oseh, who says and does. HaMedaber, he speaks. Umekayim, and he fulfills. Shekol Devarot, all of his words are emet v'tzedek, are truth and righteousness. How will we know the truth and the righteousness if Tanakh remains closed to us? The only way is we've got to go back to the sources. In the next bracha, Ne'eman Atov Hashem Elokeinu, your trustworthy God, V'ne'emanim Devarecha, we can trust your words. The davar echad mitvarecha, not a single one of your words, achar lo yoshuv reitam, will turn back empty. Every last thing that you promised is going to happen. And what's so special is that we are the ones who are living in the generation of the fulfillment. We watch it taking place before our very eyes. But we can only know that it is the fulfillment if we are aware of the promise. What did God say? You may have heard this story from me a dozen times, but I am moved to say it again, because that's really the point that I want to make. The morning of the 28th day of the month of Iyar 1967, Israeli paratroopers have broken in to the old city of Yerushalayim, and the greatest moment in 2,000 years of Jewish history, a Jewish conquering army is in the process of taking the Yer Atika, Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. But who are the soldiers? 18, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, they had never been in the old city. And once they're in the old city, they didn't know how to get to the Kotel and to the Har HaBayit. It was about 10:20 a.m. Israeli paratroopers are rushing through the old city. And finally, in an alleyway, they see a frightened young man standing there. And they approach him, and they assure him they're not going to hurt him. All they want is, please, tell us, how do you get to the Kotel? How do you get to Har HaBayit? He points the way to them, and it's not far. They hurry, they make it up to the top of Harabayit, and here is this young, frightened man standing, peeking out of the alleyway, watching the Israeli flag go up over the Harabayit. And those immortal words, Harabayit Biyadeinu, Ani Chozer, I repeat, Harabayit Biyadeinu, the Temple Mount, is in our hands. Abraham Rabinovich, in his book about the conquest of Yerushalayim, says that that young man was Abdullah Schleifer, a New York-born Jew by the name of Mark David Schleifer, Mordechai, most probably, who had converted to Islam, married a Jordanian girl, and was living in the old city working for a newspaper in the United States. And he ends the story by saying, what an odd witness to this great moment in history. Here it is, a Jew who has been torn away from his roots, lost completely his sense of what Judaism and Jewish history and Jewish destiny is all about, and he stands there and he sees the greatest moment in modern Jewish history, and he is incapable of appreciating or understanding. What a tragedy. On some level, this tragedy happens not only to Mark David Schleifers or Abdullahs. On some level, it may happen to many of us, unless we are tuned in to Jewish history and to Tanakh. I'll give you a few more examples, and then we'll get to Yom HaAtzmaut. One of the things that used to bother me as I would drive through New York State, Ontario, anybody who drove through New York State, I mean, I can see, I'm not an Israeli, so I hadn't yet been at the Grand Canyon. I have not yet made the great trip get to Old Faithful and hear them talking Yiddish. But I'm getting there. You know, it's nearly going to be 10 years that we're in Israel. It's about time that we finally see America. But of course, we'll stay away from Los Angeles for the present. So the most that I was able to do, you know, as I was the great cosmopolitan New Yorker, and New Yorkers kind of consider themselves living at the very center of the world, and the furthest that usually that they ever get is to Ferndale or to Liberty. And they think that the Catskills was the guns of hell. But for many years, I was one of those as well. It was something that bothered me. It's right through New York State, like the Finger Lakes region. Water! Lakes, rivers, streams, green, luscious, beautiful. You drive through Ontario or the thousand islands, you know, it's not only a salad dressing. I mean, there's a place, the thousand islands, a lot of water. And I always thought to myself, never. First of all, we could use that water in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was dry and arid for so many years. What did we have over here in Eretz Yisrael? What did we have? The Jordan, we were able to walk across the Jordan. Well, it always used to bother me. But there was something that bothered me even more. A pasuk in Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki Hashem Elokecha Miviyacha al Eretz Tova, God, your God is bringing you to a good land. Eretz Nachalei Mayim, a land that has streams of water. Ayamot Utomot Yotzim Babikau Bahar, streams and wells coming out of the valleys and the mountains. He describes an Eretz Yisrael flowing not only with milk and honey, but water. Up until this winter, Anybody who knew the pasuk and was tuned into the pasuk was disturbed, and I'll tell you, it bothered me. It always bothered me. What you have to know about a pasuk in Tanakh is, if you don't see it now, have patience. Have patience. Not a single word uttered by God will ever return empty. It will be fulfilled. If you are zeicher, if we are worthy, and it may even be when we're not that worthy, but the time has come of God to pour out his kindness to his people. So today, so now for the last few months, Jews have been traveling through Eretz Yisrael to see the rivers and the streams and the wells, the overflowing water of the country. Luscious, green. The Torah said it. It has to be true. It has to be true. An unusual pasuk in Yirmiyahu. When I zeroed in on this pasuk a number of months ago, it did something to me that I sort of had a chill go down my spine. I got choked up. I wanted to share the experience. He talks about kibbutz galiot, the ingathering of the exiles. And there are literally hundreds of psukim in Tanakh that describe everything that we see taking place before our very eyes. Hundreds of psukim. This one in particular, what it did to me. Hinini Neviotam Ne'edet Safon. It's in chapter 31 of Yirmiyahu. It's the Haftorah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Hinini Neviotam Ne'edet Safon. Behold, I will bring them from the lands of the north, the Kibatzdin Miyagate Aretz, and I will gather them even from the very ends of the earth. Bum, and amongst them, Iver, the blind, Piseach, the lame, Horov, the Yoledet, Yachto, the pregnant, and the woman who's given birth, together, Kahol Gadol, Yoshuvu Hena, a great congregation, a great community, will return here. We've seen the blind and the lame and those, the elderly who have to be held down from the plane. But what struck me more than anything else was that phrase, three words, Hora Violedet Yachdav, the pregnant woman and the woman who's given birth together. Rashi does not comment much on this passage. The Malbim talks about that the pregnant and the given birth refers to the birth of a nation, a people, a country that is being given birth to here. Nobody could ever have imagined in the 2,700 years since Yirmiyahu said it, none of the Mefarshim could have imagined what I believe to be the real chat. The only time you can realize it is, as the Rambam says so often, that there are so many things that are told to us in Tanakh, and we're not going to know what they really mean until after they happen. But after they happen, we have to know the Tanakh in order to understand that this is what happened, this is what it meant. There are no footnotes to modern Jewish history. What I mean is, there are events that happen, and sometimes there are sort of the little footnotes, the cute human interest stories. In Hebrew, I think they would say picante, something, cute. There's nothing cute. Everything's divine. There were a number of stories in the paper the day after Mivtza Shlomo. 14,500 Ethiopian Jews are brought to Eretz Yisrael. So it was a beautiful human interest story. There were five women who got onto the plane pregnant, but arrived in Eretz Yisrael having given birth. That's what Yirmiyahu foresaw 6,700 years ago. Hono v'yoledet yachda, the same woman is going to set out on the journey being pregnant, and she's going to arrive having given birth. No one in history could have understood the meaning of those words. But when you see the event, and you know the pasuk, and you put the two of them together, then you know that the Rebbeinu Shlom Bachar b'Neviim Tovim, he chose prophets who said great things about Klal Yisrael, and every last word, Lo Yoshuv Reikam, will not come back empty. Everything is going to be fulfilled. Down to the very last detail. Harav Yoledet Yachtov. And when are you going to have Harav Yoledet Yachtov? When Kahol Gadol Yoshuv Reikam, when a great community is going to come back here all at once. There are many other psukim in Tanakh that dance before our very eyes, that live now like they have never lived before. Ki lo machshavotai machshavoteichem v'lo darcheichem d'rochayim yom Hashem, in the Haftorah, from Yeshayahu, the Haftorah for a fast day. My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. As the rain and the snow comes down from the heaven, and it will not return until it has fructified the earth, so shall be the words that come out of my mouth. Lo yashuv elai ekam. Everything is going to be fulfilled. What we are left with now is, how are we to look at the period in which we find ourselves? The religious perspective on Yom HaAtzmaut. So, the final remarks that I'm going to say are based on a sikha that I heard from one of my Hatayim. I went to Torah Das in New York, Rav Palm. Shalita was one of the Gedolei HaTorah in America today. And it's a very fascinating approach. It's true. There's a pasuk in Devarim that says the following, V'yodata im lavavecha, you should know it in your heart. Ki kasher yaseh ishet b'no, Hashem elokecha miyasvecha. You should know that the way in which a father admonishes and chastises a son, so Hashem elokecha miyasvecha. This is the way in which God chastises and admonishes you. There are times that a father has to punish. There are times that a father has to express himself in a very strong manner to a child. And we know of periods in Jewish history where precisely that took place. Says Rav Palm, there is a corollary to this pasuk. The corollary to this pasuk is, and what does a father do after he has admonished a child? What does a father do after he has poured out his wrath? He then attempts to regain the love and the affection of that child. He attempts to rebuild the relationship between the two of them, and he does it by pouring out his kindness and his warmth and his goodness, showering blessing upon the child. Says Rav Pami, this is the rule in Jewish history. After every period of extreme suffering comes the period of chesed. After every period in Jewish history of suffering, of persecution, of yaseh ish et dino, there comes the period in which God pours out his goodness and his kindness and his warmth and attempts to rebuild the relationship with his people to the point that that period is one that could be the beginning of the Messianic era. Four periods in Jewish history. We're going to talk about four periods in Jewish history. Period number one, there's the famous chapter 11 in Yeshayahu. It is the Haftorah for the last day of Pesach in Chutz La'aretz. And according to the Rabbanut HaRashit, that's the Haftorah that is to be read on Yom HaAtzmaut. Od Hayom B'Nov La'amod. Od Hayom B'Nov La'amod. That's the end of chapter 10 of Yeshayahu. And then begins the famous chapter of the Yotzah Choter Yigezah Yishayah Shut is going to come out of Yishai. The most magnificent description of Moshiach and a world in which there will be abundance and peace and God will gather in all Jews back to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to lift the banner to the nations, calling for his people to return. A magnificent, magnificent chapter. One who will see Rashi at the beginning of chapter 11 and the Maldim will see precisely why this magnificent description of Mashiach and the Messianic era comes immediately after the story of Nov. Do you know what the story there was? Sanherib, king of Ashur, has already conquered Israel, the 10 tribes. He has conquered all of Yehuda. And there's only one thing left for him to conquer, Yerushalayim. And he arrives with his forces at Nov. And it seems to me someplace, I would say, after Neve Yaakov. And he looks down from the mountaintop, he looks down upon Yerushalayim, and he says, this is the great Yerushalayim. I've conquered greater cities than this. Tomorrow we will conquer Yerushalayim. Do you know what it means? It means that we are talking about a moment in time when Klal Yisrael is nearly about to disappear from the face of the earth. 80% of the Jewish people of Eretz Yisrael are someplace in the Horeh Choshech of Golos. All of Yehuda has already fallen under the heel of Sancheret. Only one last prize, and he feels it's there for the picking, Yerushalayim. And then it's all over. Horrible period in Jewish history. And that night, by Yehi B'Chatzi HaLaila, in the middle of the night, the angel of death swoops down and destroys the camp of Sancheret. And the Gemara says, Chizkiyahu, who was the king, could have been Mashiach. Because following the period of great suffering on the Sancheret, there was only one place Jews could go. When it gets that bad, that it can't get worse, we can only go up. Up, up, and up. And the Gemara says that Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach. Well, this is already a Gemara that has to be understood. The Gemara says he didn't say Shiva. He didn't sing the song of praise. So here was a great opportunity. The opportunity was missed. But what's most important is that following the period of Yaser Ish et Beno comes the period where God pours out his great chesed upon his people. Rebuilding the relationship. Warmth, kindness, goodness, love, intent. The second period is the period of Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kochba. Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kochba. Klal Yisrael had suffered under Rome. Unspeakable persecution. Why does Rabbi Akiva organize the revolt against Rome, the Great Rebellion? Because Klal Yisrael can't take it anymore. And he sees Bar Shimon Bar Kuzida and he says, "Dein mal to Mashiach, this man is Mashiach." The Rambam says, Bar Kochva, the Yakiva and all Chachmei Dodo, all of the wise men of his generation, thought that Bar Kochva was Mashiach. Do you think Rabbi Akiva and all the wise men of the generation made a mistake? Of course they didn't make a mistake. He could have been. There was a sin. Whatever sin it might have been. The period was ripe. The moment was a moment that could have ushered in a great period in Jewish history. Why? Because it was coming directly on the heels of frightening suffering, and after suffering comes the outpouring of chesed. The third period in Jewish history is the period of the Chachmei HaKabbalah in Tzfat. 16th century Tzfat. Rav Yosef Karo, the Baal Shulchan Aruch, Rav Shlomo Al-Kamitz, the author of the Lechot Dodi. Have you ever gone through the Lechot Dodi? Why is the Lechot Dodi a song of in which one senses the immediacy of Mashiach? Something great is happening. What do we say over there? Migdash Melech, Ir Melucha, Kumi Tzii, Mitoch Afecha, Ravach Shevet B'Eime Kabocha, V'hu Yachmol Olayich Chemla. Remember, up in Tzfat, they daven facing southward, they're facing Yerushalayim. Holy city, the royal city, time has come to arise. Enough, that you are in the valley of tears. Because God Yachamol Alayich Chemla. Hitnari, get the dust off. May offer Kumi arise from the earth. Liv Shi Big Day Tifartechami. The time has come for you to put on the garments of beauty and majesty. Al Yad Ben Yishai Beit Halachmi. Because Ben Yishai of Bethlehem, cooling his heels, he's waiting to come. Mother that, during that period of the great Chachmei HaKabbalah in Tzfat, they renewed the smicha of old. There was a great machloket about it, but the fact is that they called together the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael and they gave smicha, in other words, renewed the original ordination whereby Moshe ordained Yahushua, and that ordination carried on from Rebbe to Talmud, from Rebbe to Talmud, until after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and then it was interrupted. One needs smuchim with that kind of smich in order that there should be a Sanhedrin. Why during that generation, of all periods in Jewish history, did they decide Gedolei Yisrael,
And Gedol Yisrael were united. And they gave smicha, the Torah of Yosef Karo, and to a number of others. Why? You know why? Because they felt the footsteps of Mashiach. They felt that they were on the threshold of an unusual period in Jewish history, the greatest one of them all. Was the Arizal wrong? Was Rav Shlomo Octavitz wrong? Did the Beis Yosef make a mistake? No. We don't know why it wasn't, but they felt it, that it has to be. Why? Because that was after the expulsion of Spain, from Spain. You're going to hear enough about it as the world marks, or somebody or other is going to be marking 500 years from the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. The expulsion of the Jews from Spain was a tragedy of the highest order for Klal Yisrael. Aside from the hundreds of thousands that died, it took the great center of Torah, shattered, destroyed overnight. Hundreds of thousands of Jews just roaming the world to find some other place. They seeing it and living it, they knew that this was the great tragedy of all time. Following a tragedy of this sort, with their Ruach HaKodesh, they felt, the time is ripe. The time is ripe. It already. Wake up, you child. Big things are going to happen. They made no mistake. We're not privy to why it didn't happen, indeed. But it could have been. The fourth period in Jewish history that fits into this precise category and the rule of Jewish history is the period in which we live. Every other Churban most probably pales into insignificance before the Churban of the last generation, the Shoah. After a Shoah of such proportions, we can only imagine to what extent God has been pouring out his goodness and kindness to Klal Yisrael now for 44 years. He knows that a great deal of chesed is needed in order to rebuild that relationship. A relationship that was torn asunder by the greatest crime committed in all of history. Following the Shoah, a member of Yankov Kamenetsky, the Chetzadik of Rav, used to say it often, the establishment of the State of Israel saved Emunah by Klal Yisrael, saved faith. Not only the Jews, the remnant who emerged from the camps, not they alone questioned where was God. The question where was God was one that was being asked by an entire Jewish world. There had to be a response. There had to be an answer. And if not an answer, there had to be something that was going to dull the sharpness of the question. Because for whoever asked, where was God at Auschwitz, the question that could be asked, and well, is God in Eretz Israel? Is he showing his warmth and his closeness and his kindness? Sometimes we overlook some of the things that we live every day. Of people emerging from a Shoah to become, yes, a military power in the world. I'm amazed that there's a country here. And it's a great country. And it works. My wife is smiling, but she knows what I'm going to say. When I come home from the post office, one day I came home from the post office, and I said, you know, like, it's real country. It has stamps, and there are people working there, and they send off letters, and they arrive. Like, you know, it's the real thing.
It's a Jewish country. It's more than a Jewish country. It's much more than that. This is the real outpouring of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed and the very windows of heaven are still opening, and God continues to pour it out. The ingathering of exiles, victories on the field of battle. And yes, we may not have noticed it, because usually what's happening with David Levy and Moshe Arends or Agud and Dagon, that's a big threat. And then there's someplace on second or third page, there may be another little line that telling us about another country in the world that has entered into relations with Eretz Yisrael. So on the one hand, I always think, hey, look what it's going to cost. Well, that's understand. They'll have to have an ambassador and a consulate and a place, a custom camp. But little by little, a whole world is turning toward Eretz Yisrael. And what do you think? I always say it. A world has been in collision, in crisis for over 100 years. Nationalism. Nationalism has changed the map of the world time and time again. Great ideas of that sort are planted by the domination in this world. So why do you plant nationalism in the world? For Chad, for Zimbabwe, for Sri Lanka, for all the other hilarious countries in the world where they're killing each other worse than when they were colonies. That's what the Revolution wanted? Or did the Revolution bring down an idea of nationalism on the face of this earth so that when, forgive the term, a small window of opportunity opened in 1947, something that the nations of the world have regretted 1,000 times over, for one moment in history, they voted for the establishment of the State of Israel. What do you think? They voted for the establishment of the State of Israel. It was a malach that was makeh. Eliyahu was there and gave azetz. Yes! Yes! They've regretted it ever since. This is the great outpouring of chesed. Following the period of Kasher Yaseh Yishet B'no, following the time when God chastises and admonishes, he enters into a relationship of warmth, of closeness. The big difference is Klal Yisrael came to Eretz Yisrael 3 times. In the days of Yoshua, in the days of Ezra and Nehemia, and in our days. The famous story with Rav Herzog, the Tzadik Lebracha, he most probably said it best. He was in the United States in 1942 on a visit, and that was just at the time that the forces of Rommel were rushing across North Africa. They were getting ready for the major struggle that would bring them into Egypt, into Eretz Yisrael. At the time already, Jews in Eretz Yisrael were walking around with poison pills in their pocket. They knew what was happening. The British commander of Palestine had already notified the Jewish community that in the event that Rommel breaks through at El Alamein, the British Army in Eretz Yisrael has instructions to withdraw immediately behind the Euphrates. That would mean that Eretz Yisrael would be left without any protection whatsoever. And Hitler and Machshimei hadn't lost a battle. And his forces were poised for the thrust through North Africa. Rav Herzog was in New York and he saw the situation was getting worse. He said, I must go back to Eretz Yisrael. His friends in America said, no, you can't go back, the high seas. Finally, through Roosevelt, they got him onto a freighter, and for some strange reason, the moment the day he was supposed to get onto the freighter, somebody canceled his reservation. That boat went down a day later in the Atlantic. But he was upset. He said, no, I have to go. Finally, he got on to another boat that took him to South Africa. From South Africa, he journeyed all the way by plane and by train to Cairo until he made it back to Eretz Yisrael. But before he left, he asked him, why are you going into the jaws of death? So he said, because our Nevi'im prophesied one korban and a second korban. There will never be a third korban. He was certain beyond any shadow of a doubt, Eretz Yisrael will not fall. That takes faith. It takes faith of a good Jew who incidentally always walked around with a Tanakh. I remember seeing him a number of times. He visited in 48, 49. He visited New York. He spoke at Torah Das, at Yeshiva University. He was amazing. He had his little Tanakh and would only read, when he quoted a pasuk, he always read it. But he knew it, he was immediately able to put his finger on a pasuk in Tanakh. He was a Jew of Tanakh, and he knew no third korban. And we know, of course, the first defeat, Hitler's first defeat, was at El Alamein. I think it was Churchill who said that until El Alamein, there was never a victory, and after El Alamein, we never suffered the defeat. Was it because of Montgomery? It was the Danish letter. Eretz Yisrael Hitler will not get to, because that's the place where the outpouring of Chesed will be. We're the beneficiaries. We are the recipients. The establishment of the Eretz Yisrael is divine. Our responsibility, of course, is to take this great gift that has been entrusted to this generation and appreciate it, understand it, know that it is a gift from our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and do whatever it is that we can to make this a country in which there is a greater sense of godliness. It'll take a lot of time. We can each do a little bit, but we have to know this is the greatness about which we have an obligation to say Hallel. This is a time of saying Shiva. Every passing year is the fulfillment of so many of the great prophecies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh Hayom Asa Hashem, the Rebbe Shlomo made it, Nagila, it is Mechaba.
Have an opportunity now to ask any questions related to the topic of Yom HaTzmaut, State of Israel, etc. Anybody want to? Yeah.
How did the Rabbi fact that the Rabbanim that Rav mentioned are often associated with circles that are either downright hostile to the State of Israel or ignore the State of Israel?
Don't repeat the question. The question was that some of the people that I quoted, or really it doesn't have to do with the people that I quoted, there are people who are hostile to the state. Why is it that there are Gedolei Yisrael that are hostile to the state? You know, You know what? I'm not going to deal with the question. There have always been differences of opinion by Claudius Lowe. What I think it's important for us to know is precisely where we stand. I don't have to, you know what? I'm going to become I will say the following. The burden of proof that this is not a yomtiv rests with the person who holds it not a yomtiv. Let them explain it to me. And incidentally, I've asked the question a number of times.
Well, that wasn't my question.
Well, that wasn't the question. I was just getting ready to get all excited. That wasn't the question. What was your question?
The question was that circles that identify with Rabbani that make positive statements, like Rabbi Jacob Kavetsky about the state of Israel, even though they identify with the Kavetsky, they don't, they're hostile.
I can't. I mean, you know that I can't answer that question. I don't know why they, I mean, that would have to be a topic in and of itself.
Why?
Yeah, somebody asked me something like the Olive Bay is only once. I can't deal with that. I can't. Incidentally, I feel very badly about it because I feel they're missing the boat. I feel that they. I didn't want to say it clearly, but I intimated it when I talked about Abdullah Schleifer. And I said it's possible for people to live through great periods of time and not see it. I had that mind. Not only not see it, but look at it and see it as though this is the great tragedy. Annihilation, the great Nisoyim. State of Israel is the great Nisoyim. Unfortunately, listen, what can I do? We had the great people who are not able to see clearly. The Maradla didn't see clearly. That's enough of that.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask a question, but on that point,
yeah.
I'm saying that this is the situation. It'll break that one to be told to make sure.
Yeah,
that was only a statement. That was not a question. I think like this, I don't believe that anybody.
I'm not saying that with the doors or anything. I'm not blaming them with Bashir, but the fact is that those things happen.
So do you mean? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
How do you respond to people who say that either who say it is us or be Allah to say Allah and you must know, or it is us for the Rabbanim of this generation to establish a cause?
It's also the Rabbanim to establish.
All right.
For sure.
But I think that what I'll have to do is make available to you a tape of mine where I discuss the halachic. The halakhic foundations for saying Hallel, and there are many. The Gemara Pesachim talks about the fact that Hallel is something that should be said by Klal Yisrael, or called Tzora Shelo Tavo. Any time that the Tzora comes upon Klal Yisrael and they are saved from it, there's a call to say Hallel. And the fact is that there were Yemen told me the fact that were established by many communities. We have on record, for example, over 80 Purims of different communities in Europe that celebrated with Dore Doros. The Chassam Sofer writes in one of his Shuvahs that he and his family kept the Purim of Frankfurt. And this was about 150 to 200 years later. You know what the Purim of Frankfurt was? There was a rumor in Frankfurt that on a certain day was going to be a Pukkah. And you know what happened? The day came and passed and there was no Pukkah. So the Jewish community of Frankfurt established that day as a day of Sudas Mitzvah, Halom, of Hidoyo, the Kol HaTodos, and all of the children after that. I don't think that I have to describe to you the difference between what happened in our generation. I mean, obviously, in comparison to what's happened in our generation, the Purim of Frankfurt is a Purim Shtick. And if that was important enough, And Sam Stolper kept the day mm-hmm. of Purim Frankfurt, not because his family came from Frankfurt, but because his Rebbe Radossin Adler mm-hmm. came from Frankfurt. That's why 200 years later, the Sam Stolper is still keeping Purim of Frankfurt. What happened to us today that all of a sudden, Hallel is also, Yontif is also? I think that we have to look here for other reasons. I think that there are times at which, I want to use a dirty word like politics, but politics begins to intrude in the world of Hashkafa and Halakha. I was expressing what I expressed tonight was, I feel, the a true Torah Hashkafa, or a Torah true Torah Hashkafa. I'd like to thank Rabbi Gold, I'd like to thank you for coming. I just have one message from our sponsor. Usually we're like a bus where we ask for a fee for shiurim before, but I had no staff here tonight. So we're switching tonight to be like a taxi, and we would request, not going to specify an amount, but a donation just so that we could continue functioning as an Israel Center. With all of your thanks and Rabbi Gold's, I'd like to give you the official Rabbanut greeting for Yom HaTzma'ut, when one person says to the other, the equivalent of Mo'adim L'Simcha, the answer is L'Gulumah Shleima. I think every person of our Hashkafa realizes that as great